Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We shift gears now to come closer to home on another matter that impacts us as South Africans, especially when it comes to healthcare. We are evaluating and taking a look at the latest update regarding the proposed low-cost benefit options that have been mentioned by key players within the Board of Healthcare Funders of Southern Africa, and taking a look at how the government has responded or opposed some of these opportunities for them to be implemented. Some technical themes that we're going to discuss here, but we are going to get some details from a good friend of the show, someone that we often talk to around these themes, Dr. Katlego Mthudi, MD of Board of Healthcare Funders of Southern Africa, also known as BHF. Dr. Mthudi, such a pleasure to have you back on the show, sir.
Hi, Gugu, and I should be the one welcoming you back.
I know what you mean, but I've been home for a while and it's been fantastic to be here. I think it's safer for me to be here.
They choose the right month.
Exactly. I guess a very technical conversation we're going to have here, just in terms of the theme that we see when it comes to low-cost benefit options and how the government has responded to your calls as the BHF and the response that we hear from government regarding how the influence or impact this could have on NHI. Maybe let's just start by getting context on low-cost benefit options and the need and the what necessitates them going forward and the stance that the BHF has taken on it.
I think that there has always been an acknowledgement that government would not be able to cater for the health needs of all the citizens. So it was no surprise that this division that we had that catered for private healthcare or healthcare in the private sector and those who get from the public started a long time ago. Previously, it was along undesirable divisions. But in the, I think, mid-2000s or early 2000s, there was already recognition that the threshold for healthcare, or at least to access services in the private sector, was beyond the reach of the majority of the population. And at that time, the issue of or the concept of the low-income medical schemes was mooted. I think around 2003, a report was published which was supposed to usher the introduction of these low-cost benefit options. But I think already at that time, there were already discussions around a national program. Mm-hmm. At that time, I think it was still sort of as a social health insurance. And I think the steps were disrupted and it was shelved for a while. But then that Google led to the proliferation of products sold by insurance houses, which schemes felt were starting to cannibalize the schemes themselves. And at that time, there were steps that were taken to try and define what the business of a medical scheme is. And that led to, I think, around 2015-16, an order by the High Court to say only entities that are registered as medical schemes can sell these sort of products, and it leads to the demarcation discussion. At that time, there were already people who had bought these policies, and it was felt that it would be unfair to completely shut them down, and these insurance houses were given time while the Council for Medical Schemes and the government, notably the Ministry of Health, was still crafting a framework that would see to the transfer. And that's the birth of the low-cost benefit option. Mm-hmm. And almost 10 years later, we are waiting for that framework to be finalized and the schemes to participate.
Got you. I'm glad that you give us this context, because it has been a long time coming and yet there still is a lack of clarity around this space. Maybe let's touch on the stance of the BHF regarding the impact of low-cost benefit options and the impact it could have on the healthcare sector and, most importantly, most of our vulnerable populations in South Africa, as opposed to what the government has said in response to your stance.
So the first part that I spoke about, that there are responsibilities that schemes have in terms of providing healthcare services. And that was one of the arguments, that there are products that should be sold by schemes. But if you look at what's happening in terms of access to healthcare, and people usually vote with their feet, isn't it,
Google? Yes.
We often talk about 16% of the people who are registered on schemes. But Stats SA, almost on an annual basis, when they release the household survey, report that an additional 30% of South Africans buy their own healthcare. And these are people who are not on schemes. Mm. So people are finding it maybe difficult or having inadequate access through the state, and are already purchasing some sort of healthcare, mostly out of pocket. And I think that's where the market of the low-cost benefit or primary care products found purchase, people who are already buying healthcare. And we feel that this could be formalized. And if you've got health plans that are based on risk-sharing models,
yes,
they do become cheaper, instead of every time having to dig into your pocket for, I don't know, what is it to pay a GP now for, like, cash, maybe 400 or 500 rand every time you are ill. You could buy a package of less than that and offer you services that are a bit more than that. And I think that's where we as schemes feel there is a need to expand access, because the state obviously does not have the capacity to give all 62 million South Africans access through the public sector.
Got you. The government has come forward to say, this is not going to benefit the population, but largely just look to enhance the profits of medical aid schemes. What's your response to that as the BHF? And if this is not viewed as an option, then are there other structures that we could consider to ensure that more South Africans can afford adequate medical health cover?
Yeah, the comment is mischievous, Gugu, in that government knows that medical schemes are by nature not for profit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Council for Medical Schemes report, from the contributions that are collected on an annual basis, 90% or even more for some schemes of those are actually paid back as benefits. So the claims ratio for schemes is around 90. Some people even dip into their, like some schemes dip into their reserves to cover healthcare benefits for members. So there is no way that can be true. We have also seen instances. I think one of the arguments that government proffered in their arguments is that the benefits would amount to nothing, and people would end up going back to state for healthcare. Now, we have seen there are some schemes that are said to be PMB exempt.
Yes.
Meaning they don't cover those 26 chronic medical conditions, as well as the 270 conditions in healthcare, because they cater largely for seasonal employees, and there are about four of those schemes. Now, those schemes are able to offer far below what it costs to finance a PMB option, and that's about, I think, 1,100 per beneficiary per month if you're on a regular package. But these schemes are able to offer benefits for as little as 400 rand per family for some schemes. The most expensive, probably 1,000 rand for a family of three. And The benefits actually include what we are seeing, in fact, more than what is being offered on the current market, which means quite a number of chronic conditions as well as hospitalization. So we have seen with those examples that you are able to have pared down medical benefits and still afford a reasonable package that would actually make sure that people are covered.
Got you. I'm glad that you painted that context just for us to be clear about the dynamics involved and, of course, the positioning of key stakeholders like yourselves. As you highlighted, this has been in and out of the courts for almost 8 years now, back and forth, still no clarity. I'm keen to understand what the next steps are right now and if the BHF might be looking to introduce alternative solutions and proposals to low-cost benefit options.
What is being punted from the government side is that we are all waiting for the Holy Grail. But in as much as the NHI is supposed to usher in universal health coverage, we don't foresee an instance where the NHI or whatever version eventually is introduced would be able to cover for the needs of all South Africans. In fact, even the Constitution says the state is responsible for essential healthcare services to the extent to which it can afford to do that. And I think we've all been seeing what the budget, state budget has been doing. We're still in the middle of a fight now to approve it. There's moves to increase taxes and a very big fight. And one of the proposals around the funding for NHI is to increase taxes. And I think if this is not a good example of how things will pan out when that is suggested, I think we'll then be blind to reality. So we foresee a situation where schemes will remain relevant. Mm-hmm. We also think that having low-cost benefit options does not compete with the introduction of NHI or NHI-like a fund, because it does increase access. And as I've said, people are already buying additional services outside what is being offered by government. So what we see worldwide is that there is a move towards hybrid funding mechanisms, where you have state funding a portion of the healthcare, you've got private sector doing the same, and there, unfortunately, would still be some out-of-pocket expenditure. But I think it's important to say, let's not be blind to what people spend their money on and factor that into the plan, and not leave it out for their own determination. Because if we plan for all those three scenarios, we're able to consider the pricing for all the services that we deem necessary, whether as state or private sector, we think that we can afford them or not. So there is a space for schemes. There is a space for low-cost benefit options. And I think this become necessary as economic pressures continue to pile up. There will always be a need for augmentation of whatever state can offer.
100%. Ntate Mthudi, we'll leave it there for today, but really looking forward to seeing how things do develop. And most importantly, as you've said, the prioritization of all South Africans having an opportunity to access affordable healthcare through proper means and structures that industry leaders can provide. Thank you again for your time, sir.
It's a pleasure. Good night.
That's Dr. Katlego Mthudi, MD of the Board of Healthcare Funders of Southern Africa.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.